And celebration of the music, the people, and the goings-on in Baton Rouge.
Thank you for tuning in. I do appreciate you listening. I am joined tonight by some very lovely guests. Please introduce yourselves.
Marcy McPhee.
Sister Plone.
Sister Blackmore.
Why are they calling themselves sisters, you may ask?
So Sister Plone and I are actually missionaries for our church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And so while we come out here and dedicate a year and a half of service to the Lord, we go by sister. But when we go home, we'll go by our normal first names.
And how long have you been on your mission at this point?
We've been out for about 16 and a half months. We go home super soon, actually, in the next couple weeks.
Yeah.
How does it feel coming to an end?
It is bittersweet. It's exciting to go home, to go to school, see family again, but it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience to be on a mission to meet new people and have crazy experiences and share the gospel.
I think it's very interesting that you are not at the English-speaking Church of Latter-day Saints. You are at the Spanish-speaking Church of Latter-day Saints.
Yeah, so we're the Spanish missionaries over in this area of Baton Rouge. We're over the Spanish congregation and we help all those that speak Spanish. So we actually learn Spanish out here on our missions in this time that we've had. And there's a congregation here that speaks English, but we mostly teach people that speak Spanish.
Sister Plone and I have lived all over Louisiana, Mississippi, Arkansas, just sharing the good word in Spanish.
I met these ladies through Marcy McPhee, who I serve on the Ebony and Ivory Advisory Board with. Here, Marcy is editing books about the Church of Latter-day Saints. Do you want to talk a little bit about your work?
So, my career is as a writer and editor. The most recognizable client that I have is Steve Young, NFL Hall of Fame, San Francisco 49er quarterback, and he approached me and asked me to help him get the thoughts out of his head and into a book that is now The Law of Love. Other clients, Reverend Dr. Fatima Saleh, who was born Muslim, joined the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, served a mission like these ladies to Brazil, came back and became a practicing Southern Baptist preacher, but she came to me to get some help writing her memoir. Her book is called Love Memory, and a lot in the LDS LGBTQ space, gay LDS crossroads, and listen, learn, and love.
You have a website people could check out?
MarcyMcPheeWriter.com.
Actually,
oh, I should spell McPhee, M-C-P-H-E-E. Marcy, M-A-R-C-I, McPhee, M-C-P-H-E-E, Marcy McPhee Writer.
After meeting Marcy, that's a little bit different than what I thought the church was about. I'm queer, and I suspected they weren't very open-minded about such things. And knowing Marcy and just what an awesome, open, and loving person that she is, I just got curious. And then she invited me to meet the sisters. We've been meeting over the last series of Mondays, and I've been learning a lot about the church, learning about the sisters, learning about Marcy's experience with it. And of course, I have to tie it into some music here. And since they're part of the Spanish-speaking congregation, we're going to play you a Spanish song tonight.
And this song was the peak of my accordion playing career. I have actually taken accordion lessons since I was 5 years old. I took lessons until I left for college. High school is many, many years ago. Thank you very much. And it shocks me that when I pick up the accordion now and I come to my favorite song that I ever played, that that song is still in the fingers. It's the muscle memory that still can play this song. So I rehearsed it, knocked off a few of the rough edges, not all. So this song is called España Caní, and it translates as Spanish Gypsy. Thank you.
never come around. Well, there ain't nothing left in the middle of town except the Burger King and the Indian Mound. They're gonna dig it all up and put a parking lot, 'cause man, them burgers really hit the spot. Oh, say, how come you never come around? Well, the Crisco kid took his own life. He took it with a spoon and a butter knife. He got too bad and he couldn't get around. His mama cracked up and his daddy left town. Oh, say, how come you never come around?
Sing this song, the one about the devil.
are listening to all local music on Baton Rouge Locals Only. I'm your host, Cindy Wonderful, and that was Lucy Yo's featuring her mother. And if that song sounded a little bit lo-fi, it's because it was recorded in a car on a road trip back from her very first concert ever, which was Paul McCartney. Her and her mother wrote that song together from Dallas to Baton Rouge, and I thought that was so touching, I had to play it for you. Before that, you heard Eric Schmidt with the song Sadie, and both of those musicians and many more you can hear and see performing live on Saturday, March 23rd at the Tunica Hills Music Festival and Jam, just down the road in St. Francisville. It's free, it's from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., three stages. It's family friendly. There's local, regional, and national performers. They even have comedians, including our very own comedy correspondent, Leah Orth. So you know it's going to be funny. And if you're so inspired, you can bring your own instrument for the mini jam sessions that are going to be taking place as part of that festival. Again, that's Saturday, March 23rd. And if you'd like to know more, I will have links for the event up at our Instagram/Baton Rouge. Locals Only. And while you're there, like, comment, share, follow. And if you are a local musician, that's a great place to write me a message, tell me about your music, send me your links. You never know, I might end up playing you on a future episode, just like I did this next artist. This is Larry Bradford with Cutta's Groove. And I'll be back to talk with the sisters and Marcy McPhee right after this. You are listening to Baton Rouge Locals Only. That was Cut as Groove from Larry Bradford. I'm your host, Cindy Wonderful, and joining me today, Marcy McPhee and Sister Blackmore and Sister Plume, missionaries from the Church of Latter-day Saints. I just learned that they don't say Mormon anymore.
And some folks thought that the Mormon Church was different from our church, and particularly in disaster relief, people would say, oh, thank you so much for the two churches that came to help. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and the Mormon Church. And it's like, it's both us. And also because some people thought that we worshiped Mormon, we worship Jesus Christ.
So you have to pay your own way on a mission, right?
Yeah.
We don't get paid here, but, well, we get blessings and a lot
of
joy.
Paid blessings.
Yeah, that's more than we could want in money.
You have to really want to do this. It's not easy work. Having to speak and teach in a whole new language, be ready to say yes to wherever you are sent.
I kind of put it in like an analogy. Is before your mission, you're just a bunch of cookie dough, and there are like ingredients going into your cookie dough. And then when you're on your mission, you're in the oven, and it's like the hottest part ever. And it's just like, but you can see the light at the end of the tunnel sometimes, right? And then when you come out, you're just like the most delicious cookie ever. And that's going to be the rest of our lives, or at least that's what I'm hoping. It's definitely not easy, but it's worth the pain. It's like, it's worth all of it.
So when I was like 14 or 15, I went to these church history sites in New York. And there were some sister missionaries there. They were wearing these dresses and they had their little plaques and everything. And I was like, oh, that would be kind of cool to like take people on tours through all these old pioneer houses and stuff. And so I was like, I could do that, probably, maybe. I didn't really know what you did on a mission. I just knew that like you taught people and you helped people and you served people. And then I kind of put it off because I was like, well, I'm going to college, so I'm not gonna do that. And then something in the back of my head, I was like, I should go on a mission. And I was like, why? I already have all my classes figured out. I already have everything I want to do. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to pray about it. So I prayed about it and I fasted about it. And I got my answer that I need to go on a mission. So I canceled all my classes. I canceled my housing that day because I needed to sign my housing paper for the next day. And I was like, okay, I'm actually going on a mission. Sorry I put you through all that. But I decided to come. And you send in your papers, you fill out these papers about like medical stuff, dentist stuff, you know, you have to be worthy to serve a mission. You send it to the prophet of our church. Russell M. Nelson is the prophet right now. But you send it to him and they assign you to a mission. And so both of us, me and Sister Blackmore, we got assigned to the Baton Rouge, Louisiana mission. And it covers most of Mississippi, most of Louisiana, a little part of Arkansas. And in this mission, and in every mission around the world, because there's missionaries everywhere, we learn so much about ourselves. We learn so much about the scriptures, so much about people in different cultures, so much about Jesus Christ, our brother, and our Heavenly Father. And it's an experience that I will never, ever, ever forget. And we leave in just a couple weeks, and so it's on our minds a lot about, like, what are we gonna do when we get back? Because there's nothing as good as a mission. And yes, it's so hard. Like, you get up, you do what you gotta do, you serve and you help and you teach. And it doesn't make it any easier knowing that it's something good. But the opportunity to even come on a mission to help share your testimony about your Savior Jesus Christ and teach people that don't know about him is, it's once in a lifetime opportunity.
And you also do community service, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We do service wherever we can because it's what Jesus Christ would do. As we're on our mission, we try to seek to do what he would do. And that's our main focus. And so it's really cool. I think the biggest thing that I've learned on my mission is that I know my brother Jesus Christ more than I did know him. And we talked about this a little bit. It's like, if you want to get to know somebody, you have to spend time with them. And before my mission, I wouldn't say that I spent time studying the scriptures for hours every day or serving people as he would do for hours every day. And now being out here and doing what he would do and saying what he would say and thinking about that consciously, I've spent time with my brother Jesus Christ. And so I know that he's there for me.
And in honor of you mentioning your brother Jesus Christ, I'm going to play a song from a Baton Rouge group from the 1970s called Black Blood. This is Jesus Is My Brother on 96.9 FM.
Jesus. He ain't my brother, Jesus. He's the man for the white man.
Is my brother, and that is going to wrap up this episode of Baton Rouge Locals Only. Marcy McPhee, Sister Blackmore, Sister Plome, thank you so much for joining me tonight. And I would encourage anybody listening to get to know somebody new. Maybe you don't think has something in common with you. Maybe get curious about people. Open up. You will be very surprised at what you might find, and you might just find yourself very inspired. Do either of you have a website or anything?
No. ChurchofJesusChrist.org.
Well, there you go. And if you're looking for me on the net, again, that's Instagram or Facebook / Baton Rouge Locals Only. And while that's my time for tonight, as always, you're invited to join me next Thursday and every Thursday for all local music and brand new episodes of Baton Rouge Locals Only, right here on WHYR 96.9 FM. Thank you for listening. Good night.